Galatians 3:24. Amen? Galatians, that's that little book back there.
All right, second one.
Yeah, that's that one you don't look at too often. Once you get past the Matthew and the Corinthians and all of that, then you can go back and find something good.
Amen.
Galatians 3, okay. Beginning at the 24th verse. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Again, Lord, we ask that you just open the pages of the book, Lord, and bring forth with a message. Use your servant, Lord, that the message which truly come from you, that you will feed us here this morning with that that we need. That you will make us, O God, just a part of you. Help us, Lord, to overcome anything that would set us back. Make us, Lord, here this morning. In the name of Jesus, we ask you. This scriptures are ones that we don't often look at of the Old Testament. The law. And he says there that the law was a schoolmaster. That the law was that was teachings. And if you can remember back that far, some of you are younger, when we were in school, we started out probably in the first grade. And the things that we learned were kind of very simple little things that was taught us. And we progressed from year to year to year after that until we got out of school, high school, college, or whatever. But it was a learning procedure. It started out very small and very simple for the littlest ones. But then at the end time, when we graduated and we handed a degree or whatever, however high you went. I didn't go very high, as you know. But nevertheless, this was a schoolmaster. It was a process of teaching and learning. The Old Testament under the law was exactly the same. It was a teaching of the principles of life, those things that we need, but it was all headed towards the coming of Christ. It was all aimed at that end. Well, today, as we learn in school, you don't learn it all in school. You don't learn it all by the book. You don't learn things that you was taught in the first grade. Possibly, you don't even think about it anymore. Those things that you were taught later on in the upperclassmen, principles, yes, absolutely, they were there, all these things were there. But the actual learning, the actual process of getting it into this brain and getting it to use comes from living. It comes from everyday life. And that's exactly the same as the Bible. All of those people back in the Old Testament, the prophets and all this prophecy that was made, were school teachers. They were teaching of things to come. They were talking about things that you would need. Now, it led them and it guided them to a end. Well, that's exactly the same as you and I when we were taught in schools or whatever special classes. Maybe we went to something that was absolutely training for a specific job. But at the end, we were put into that position, and that's when we learned. That's when we learned. Yes, by actual doing, by the actual job when it was put before us to do, and doing so, we either succeeded or we failed, depending on how much we paid attention to the schoolmaster back there. Because the basic learning that was taught back there will lead us and guide us into the thing that we do. Just like your work. If you were taught to send it to the x-ray technician, and she taught it, she learned it, and taught it and all this, that, and the other, but it was actually on the job that she learned it. Yes. And there will come times when in your work, Tom, you've got the same thing in yours. Well, y'all do. Y'all do different work, but y'all have work to do. But at times we will come up against something and we'll have to stop. And we'll have to kind of look at this. Well, whoo, I haven't did this for a while, or if I ever did, or just exactly how I'm going to handle this. But then you will remember back in your teaching time when somebody back there took the time to tell you exactly what it was and led you into it. You'll go back and you'll refresh your memory. Just exactly the same as our Holy Bible is a schoolmaster. We hit obstacles every day. And we have to wonder about this. How do I handle it? How do I do this, that, and the other thing? We can always refer back to the schoolmaster and find out where to go. Yeah. We can find out because it'll tell us there how we should go about it. Well, see, all of this teaching and all of this was all aimed at the coming of Christ. Yes, at the end of our work period, when it's all over and done, when we retire, do we ever retire? No, we don't. We just keep on going. But at the end of our time, when we have finished our job and done as best we can look at it and say, yes, I did it. Yes, it's over. The work is complete. That's exactly the same as your Holy Bible. In the Old Testament times, all of these things that were taught back in under the law and up through the coming of Christ was all in looking forward to the end. Well, the end was only the beginning. The end of the schoolmaster was the beginning of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer to all the things that were said back in the Old Testament. You can study it, you can read the New, and it'll refer you right back to the Old. But it's all, when Christ came, it was fulfilled. He did not come to destroy the law. He did not come that the law was finished. It was not. He came to fulfill the law. In His coming, He fulfilled all the prophecies that were made back through the Old Testament time. You see, it all works together. The latter part of that verse that I read to you there, as we say, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Yes.
We have become Christian through Christ. But he said, there is neither. Now this is kind of separating. He said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female, for ye are all one in Christ. Yes. When we are born into, baptized into the kingdom of Christ, we become one. It doesn't make any difference who you are, where you are, what kind of a background you came from, Jew or Greek or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. Yes, Peggy, as you just witnessed a while ago. Yes, it doesn't make any difference who we are, what we are, or anything. We are in Jesus Christ equal
every one of us. There's no higher and there is no lower. We're all on a level plane. We're all exactly the same. Yes. They had a problem with that. The Jews and the Greeks and all, they had their controversy. One way, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. But Jesus Christ settled it all. Yes. He made it all level prayer. Paul taught this. Yes. He taught that it doesn't make any difference where you come from, what you believe in Jesus Christ, and that's all you need. That's it. It doesn't make any difference. Well, they say, well, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to be circumcised, you've got to do this, you've got to be baptized a certain way. Today, look around and about you at all the different churches, of all the different denominations, of all the different things that they've come up with. Well, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. So if you went by all those things that you have heard different churches say, you would be so confused, you wouldn't know what to do. It was. You know, I've heard stories about, I don't know this, but I've heard stories about, well, some, we baptize, it's customary for us to go into the baptistry or into the water someplace, and we take them, dump them down in and say the words, bring them back up, and some of them go forward, some go backward, some sprinkle, some does this, some in different way. But it's not that physical part is what's in here that counts. Yes. He said there is no difference. We all become one in Jesus Christ. But the thought that I would like to kind of hit on this morning, if I could, would be there in the 29th verse. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. Abraham's seed. You see, God promised Abraham, as Abraham was so close to God, that he told him that if you'll do what I want you to do, if you'll follow me, then you're going to be blessed. Your seed is going to be blessed. Your people is going to be blessed. It's going to be blessed. It's going to be carried in. It's going to be carried through. Generation after generation after generation after the seed. The seed. Well, that's what all of these prophets were doing back in the Old Testament times. They were planting seed. They were planting seed that could mature in good soil. Yeah. The sower, the story of the parable of the sower that sowed the seed, yes. It fell on different kinds of soil and all this. You know the story. Okay. But as they were sowing the seed, seed was planted, and as it germinated, it had to do that. And it had to sprout, and it had to grow, and it had to produce. Just simple as farming or anything else. You think you women plant flowers and you put the little seeds in the ground, and pretty soon that pops something out of the ground. And you have all the faith in the world to believe that when you put that little seed into the ground, that it's going to do something. You don't say, well, I'm going to put him in there, you bury him, he's going to stay there, he's going to die right there. Yes. You put that seed in the ground knowing that it's going to do something. Well, these people that were planting these seeds back in there under the law, that was planting all these seeds, they had planted it knowing that it was going to sprout, come forward, and it was going to amount to some fruit later through Jesus Christ. You see, that was planted back there under the Old Testament didn't do a thing. It did not do anything. All of that was planted back under the law was planted into good ground, fertile ground, rocky ground. That's all of this. It was all there. Yes, it was. But it did not do a thing until Jesus Christ came along. Then things started to happen. Then the trout started to come forth. Remember, when he was on the cross, he went back and brought all of those that were in the Old Testament, brought them all forward to cover under the new. They were sprouted. Yes, they came alive. They were sprouted under the power of God through Jesus Christ. Yes, he did it. The seed of Abraham that was brought forth. Well, did they all come forth? No, afraid not. Matthew 13, 27 through 30. So the servants of the household came and said to him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From which then hath it tarried? And he said to them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat to the barn. Yes. Separation. As back then, the seed of Abraham that was brought forward, that we are truly the seed of Abraham. We are of the generation, of our generation. This was planted within us good seed. Every one of you sitting in this congregation this morning that have accepted Jesus Christ, he planted good seed. It wasn't in any way soil. It wasn't ruined. It wasn't rotten. Yes. Yeah. It reminds me of Corky when Telly saw me. She plants a garden every year. I plow and get it ready for her. She does it. You know, planting all that and attending the loving care he does, the rough stuff I do. She went and bought some seed. I forget now where she bought it from, doesn't make any difference. But she bought some bean seed, and it was supposed to be half runner beans. Well, it turned out there was all kinds of beans in there. It wasn't just half runner, then when they came up, there was this and that and another, and they were all mixed up. Couldn't tell it in the seed. Couldn't see it, you see. But there was stuff in there that shouldn't have been. They was mixed up. And that's exactly what happens to us a lot of times. We allow, once Christ has been given us the good seed, then we allow old Satan to get in there, and he kind of mixes into it a little bit of, well, he called them tares. That was weeds, we would say, today in the garden. But he puts it into our life sometimes, old Satan will allow him to infiltrate within us. And he'll put within us evil thoughts, evil this, some things, sin, and some, and we'll live with them. We'll live with these things. And if it were tried to tear them out, to rip them out of us, then it might destroy our faith. You see, a lot of times when you would stand, if I were to stood here and in front of you as pastor of your church and one that was, I don't know what, if I was to stand here as judge upon each and every one of you, if I was to stand here, if I was to watch your life and see the things in it that doesn't measure up to God's standard, according to me. If I were to do that, then I would look back on this congregation, boy, and I could pick you out and I would say, you, and just point my finger right at you and just lay you out just good, you know, going to put you right down to the bottom. Yeah. trying to destroy the tares that's in your life, what would happen? You'd say, you are something else, bye-bye. I'm gone. Destroy the good by trying to separate. That is not my job. No. You know your fault a whole lot better than I do. Yes, but you don't know my fault as good as I do. Believe me, I've got more faults in me than you have in you, and I guarantee it. Because once you accept the calling of God to deliver His word, they'll pile them on. Yes, all the evil things that Satan can throw at you, he'll do it. If you're not living close to God, He isn't too much worrying about you. But if you're trying to deliver the word of God, if you're trying to do the very best that you can, believe it, He'll hit you with everything He can. Here, you see. Yeah. Get out. Yep. Only God can say, He said, leave him alone. He doesn't say, dwell on them. He said, leave him alone. They'll come up, they'll crowd up with it at the end time. When the reapers comes in, that's when Christ comes back. When the reapers comes in, He'll separate them. Yes, you will be tried. You will be tested. You will be purged. All of those things that are in our lives that we can't seem to get rid of, we can't seem to, we've prayed about it, we've done all this, we've done all that. Evil thoughts, all these lustful things we think about, all these things that would kind of hinder us, yes, they're still there. They're still there. We do the very best we can, but we just cannot seem to get rid of them. Take them to God. God, you handle it. I can't. Yes. And at the end time when He comes, He will separate those things because not one drop of sin will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not one speck. No, it will be purged out. Just like the precious metal that is heated to a point that all the dross comes to the top, skimmed off and thrown away. Yes, all those things will be done to us. We will be purged till we will be acceptable unto His sight. Yes, it'll happen quick. Because, you know, when we bowed at the altar and prayed, and He came into our life. Wow. Do you remember that time? We were perfect. We were perfect in His sight. Not one spot was on us. Boy, when we got up out of there, as I said, Satan starts his work. Immediately. He starts his work and we become vested with all these little things that come along. We just cannot seem to handle them. He'll take them away. Yes. He said, leave them alone. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reaper, gather ye together. First the tares, bind them in bundles and burn them completely. But gather the wheat into my barn. Folks, we are going to be wheat. Perfect. Wheat. Good. Wheat. No tares there at all. Because all these things are going to be cast away. The seed. Back to the seed. Abraham's seed. God promised to Abraham and all the generations to follow him. Him. This was seed. This was good seed. All the prophets builded on this. All the prophets back through the Old Testament times, they builded on this, but it was all aimed at the coming of Christ. Salvation, they didn't have it then. But in Jesus Christ, when He came on the scene, when God seemed fit to send His Son to earth as a man, do you believe it?
Yes.
If you don't believe that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God, you missed it all. Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he made all these things, the schoolmaster, fulfilled. Yes, the schoolmaster's great, and we have to come back there. You'll hit times in your occupation, in your daily life. You'll hit things that you're not sure about. But if you can just think about it for a minute, that old schoolmaster back there, yep, he told me about that. Or you can think about different things that happened in your church, what have you. We had feelings, bad feelings one towards the other. You just think about a minute. And you think about what that old preacher said. He'll tell you. You'll hear it. You'll hear it. You'll remember it back then. And you'll be able to apply it to your life. That nothing, believe me, nothing can take away your love for Christ. Nothing can take away your salvation. Nothing. Once you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's there. Wow. You mean that those people that were saved, you still church and all this and stand up and witness all that, and now they live in just the terrible flat you can think about? Yeah. They're saved too. Once the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your life, you don't take it off. No. You don't. It's there forever. Now, it may not look good. It may be contaminated with all these things, and that's between you and God, not me. But in his day, when he comes, these things will all be taken care of. Yes. Some will hear the words of Christ say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. And some will hear, depart from me, I never meet you. We can deceive ourselves. We can deceive ourselves into thinking everything is just fine. The life we're living, all this, yes, I'm just as good as that person down the road here, going to church every Sunday, just as good. Because I see his life, and boy, it's terrible. Yes. She said, Cindy, she just does all kinds of bad things out there. Well, I'm as good as she is. Yes, I am. You don't judge yourself by Cindy. You don't judge yourself by your preacher. You don't judge yourself by anybody else. You judge yourself by what Christ wants in you. That's it. No other way. And he will make it right. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for just being with us here this morning. And we pray, O God, by the words that you have given, O Lord, that it might make a change, that it might make us more assured, Lord, that you are with us, that you are close, that you have compassion for us, Lord, when we make a mistake, that when we call upon your holy name, Lord, that you hear it. And Lord, that you help us to overcome all the things that would set us back, all the things that we should not have within us. Lord, would you help us, Lord, just to get rid of it. But Lord, it's just like the thorn in the flesh. Make it not your will. Make it there to test and to prove it. Whatever it is, Lord, we pray, O God, that you keep us where we need to be, on our knees in prayer, thanking thee, Lord, just for sending Jesus Christ. We ask you, Father, to give us time. For, Lord, there are so many out there that needs to hear the word. Even so,